great.
But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it?
Yes, of course.
We will.
You don't even have to think about it.
So let's rhyme it today. Rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to rhyme it. Just.
Yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just
ooh,
I like
everybody.
I'm not going to remember any of it.
That's good. That's the way to go.
All over the Rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
How are you guys?
Who's house?
Wow.
Ram it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rams Brothers. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother and the other great host of this show, Nick. And Nick, we're 8-7, ass-kicking against the Saints. It feels good. We felt prepared for that game, and the Rams took care of business. But first, most importantly, how are you, my good brother?
First time in the win column since week one, 1-0. And damn, it sure feels good. What a game. You stomp all over the Saints. Didn't matter that it was Thursday night. You took care of business. You got to feel good after that one, Dean.
So covered the spread. They went over on points. They took care of business. They were at home. They did exactly what they needed to do in terms of playoff implications. I think Rams fans need to be overwhelmingly excited about this team right now. Like, there is no reason not to be completely excited about what the Rams have for the future. You know, we'll have to look forward to next year. But then also this year, like, can you make noise in the postseason? Like, you're potentially going to have a matchup, which the updated playoff picture is really interesting. The Rams are in the sixth seed at 8-7, so they would be traveling to Detroit for a playoff game. Hypothetically, if this season ended right now, they obviously have the New York Giants next weekend. Obviously, this is like a really perfect time for the Rams to kind of settle down and have a bye. It's kind of like a mini bye, right? It's like an 11-day period between games. They go prepare for the New York Giants and then the San Francisco 49ers in the final week of the season. But Nick, you have to be overwhelmingly optimistic about the way that this team looks over the last 4 weeks, over the last 5 weeks, and in this game specifically.
I encourage all of the listeners of Rams Brothers the Pod to go back to our first preview of week one of the season where Dean laid out exactly where he thinks this team should be. And he said, I think they should sneak into the playoffs. I think they should be able to be where Seattle was last year. And I think that they are a team that can win a playoff game. And, you know, I really went against that take and thought it was a little lunacy with how young we were and where everybody was talking about where the defense is. But they're legitimately not only in the playoff picture, but ready to upset a lot of teams. And it feels really good to be a Rams fan right now, watching Kyren and Puka and the defense go off at home on Thursday, which seemed 100% Rams fans, like, covered in blue at SoFi, which is unfortunately rare. It was awesome. It was a perfect showcase on a primetime game to show the world that the Rams are legit.
Hey, there's no victory lap here. I don't want to say that I was right. Like, we were like excited about this game, I think, for the right reasons. Like, we previewed a 7-7 team with the Saints, and we said to ourselves, this Rams team over the last 5 weeks coming out of the bye is much better. They're much more prepared with their three weight-bearing walls. They have rookies that are overperforming, outperforming their ceiling for this season specifically. I'm just like, with Puka Nacua and Steve Avila and Byron Young and Kobe Turner and everybody else that's contributing, Davis Allen, a little bit of a blunder in terms of special teams, but that doesn't mean that that's something he can't correct. There's a lot of good things to be excited about. Like, this is all aside. The product on the field is all completely aside of the job that Sean McVay and Les Snead have been doing behind the scenes to be able to build this product. And I think that's the excitement that I think Rams fans have to kind of realize is, like, you have an unbelievable head coach that should be the coach of the year this year. Like, in consideration at the very least, and a GM who will probably be in consideration in terms of GM executive of the year. They built this team, this roster, all through free agency, through the draft, and through acquiring enough talent to supplement their three weight-bearing walls. And there's no reason why Rams fans shouldn't expect this team to go into a playoff atmosphere and be able to upset a team on the road.
Right. And we went in this game in the preview, the episode before, we talked about the Saints are 7-7, a little bit of a fraudulent 7-7, and both of us said top down, head coach, quarterback, playmakers, defense, outside of special teams, that we are better, and the Saints really have not been that good. And the only reason we were worried was because it was Thursday night. And yep, that's what you do against not good teams. You roll over them, you steamroll them, and you like come out handsomely on top. Outside of a block punt, it doesn't even matter. There was never a question that that game was a loss. But the Rams just did a remarkable job. And you're right, that there is upset potential with this team.
Yeah, and I think what's most exciting is, like, you look at the defense, right? It's like some of the players like Michael Hoyt, who a lot of people just completely wrote off. And Byron Young's obviously playing really well as a rookie. And Herbie said it best on the broadcast. Like, this defense has done an incredible job since the bye week. And the offense is obviously a very, very positive compliment. And it's certainly a bonus to what the defense is being able to do. And complimentary football, like, that's exactly what the Rams want to be as an identity. But the Rams is secondary. You used to have Jalen Ramsey and David Long and Troy Hill and Nick Scott and Taylor Rapp and Eric Weddle and Robert Rochelle, and it's completely different now. Like, that's just the back end. Like, you're talking about players that, like, haven't been here for a long period of time. Darion Kendrick obviously is not everybody's favorite player, but Jacoby Durant and Ernest Jones, like, the way that they're able to kind of complement one another, and it seems like they're playing with resiliency, they're playing together, and in a way that, like, only it seems like young players who have kind of bought into not only an identity, but a foundation and a personality of a franchise that I feel like is just moving in the right direction constantly. Like, Aaron Donald and Kobe Turner are an incredible pair, but it seems like only a guy like Raheem Morris, who is very much, I don't know, in play for a head coaching job again this offseason, like, he is overwhelmingly a favorite to go get one of those jobs. And the reason is because this defense was never supposed to be able to help you out in games. Like, they could help you out in certain situations. Aaron Donald's, his greatness, Ernest Jones on the second level. You're hopeful that a couple of veteran safeties can get the job done on the back end. But, like, overwhelmingly, there's no reason why this defense was supposed to win you games specifically. The offense was supposed to take care of business, and Raheem Morris is going to get a job because of it. And I think that's what's really interesting about the way that they built this team. It's like, let's keep it cheap defensively, and our offense, specifically fifth round picks, are going to be the ones that win you games. And this is a great tweet from Sosa. Shout out Sosa. He's ripped. Check out his lifelong journey of becoming ripped. But even more importantly, the Rams' fifth round picks combined for on Thursday Night Football, 31 total touches, 284 total yards, and 2 touchdowns. Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams are absolutely a special duo. And it just feels like that they've not only hit on picks, but they've successfully built on foundational core players that can move you into a Super Bowl caliber team.
What I really like, I'm glad you brought up Raheem, because I definitely think this is probably our last year with him, which is sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, greatness where it is, you know, you got to call it out, because he has been remarkable with this young team. But I feel like it's really like the moral of the season, the thesis statement, if you will, it's about responding, because mm-hmm. you look at earlier in the year with, you know, the blowout against Dallas and the bad loss against the Steelers and the defense, like, kind of like looking really young and giving up, you know, like every third and eight, every third yep. and long. And now they're out there, you know, they're getting to the quarterback. They're just every week. It's like they're taking all the L's and they're turning them into lessons, as Chance the Rapper would say. And I just feel like it's been remarkable to watch such a young team succeed in this like league where it feels wide open right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it does. Hey, there's only one quarterback in the NFC who has won a Super Bowl, and that's Matthew Stafford. Right.
And that's one of the reason why, you know, you got to feel good about it being wide open.
And you know what? The Saints kind of did us a favor. There were a couple of situations where they made our defense look good, right? They tested us. Like on fourth down situations, they felt like there was an opportunity to be able to execute. And that, I feel like the Rams defense entirely disagreed. They made a couple of great plays, pressure on Derek Carr, which forces errant throws, which forces him to be erratic. And that's kind of the benefit of the pass rush. It seems like it's perfectly timed. It's situational. And when they have to rush four and they have to kind of drop back the secondary and kind of let them cover, they can get the job done in that way too. So in this kind of game, you know, I'm not fearful that the pass rush wasn't going to be able to win. You had Ryan Ramczyk, the right side. He was out, right? There were a couple of offensive linemen for the Saints who just seemed overmatched. And that's kind of the greatness of being able to build personnel on the defensive line. But then you move over to the offensive side, like Puka Nacua is unbelievable. Like there is, you could probably make this whole podcast about him. 6 receptions for 164 yards and a touchdown. He just made unbelievable play after unbelievable play. And it's all outside of the fact that he is such a valuable member of the run game. Like he is, he's a willing blocker. He's resilient. He's everything that you want a football player to be. And the identity that he kind of carries around with him seems to uplift the entire roster. It's really impressive. And when Cooper Kupp needs to take off plays, Puka Nacua is right there to pick him up. It's a good older brother, younger brother dynamic that, hey, I think both of us can appreciate.
Yeah. And the younger brother seems to be outperforming the older brother, which seems to always be the case. But it is funny. It does sort of feel like Kupp is taking, not regressing in any way, but no, Puka is becoming number one. I mean, just with those hands, I've never seen a rookie take a shot like that to the chest and then just have the man like fall off of him and keep going. Yeah. The amount of stamina that McVay is asking everybody in the offense to use, like they're running around pre-snap so frequently. To mix Puka in with the jet sweeps and everything and get runs straight for him. It's insane. I mean, like is he the best rookie in the draft class? Like, I think that's a fair question.
And I mean, they've been talking about Puka being a top five pick, right? Like I saw a Scott Hansen clip from Red Zone where he was talking about if you were to do a redraft and the easiest draft to do is a year later. Right.
But like, after all
the dust settles.
Does Puka become Puka on the Atlanta Falcons with
Marcus? No, absolutely not. No. He becomes Puka Nacua with Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford.
Right.
And the reason why, like you look at the next gen stats and you saw the kind of production that Puka Nacua adds to this offense, but being able to go into shift or motion on 21 of 66 snaps, like he is running burners, suicides. 31.8% of the snaps, and he gained 107 scrimmage yards on those plays. It's the second most by a player in a game this season. Puka Nacua is the only player this season to gain over 100 scrimmage yards after going in shift motion in multiple games. Look at the route tree. Are you kidding me?
I know. It's insane. It's like the last episode of Loki.
How much more can you expect the kid to possibly do? So, I mean, we're never going to talk about the longevity of Puka Nakua's career at this point, because he's having an unbelievable rookie season. And for reasons like this, because Puka Nacua has 1,327 yards with two games left to play, that Bill Roman might be an afterthought. He holds the rookie record of 1,473 total yards. Nick, how many yards are left? 147 to go in two games?
I was gonna say, you cannot expect me to do that quick math right now. I'm so happy you did it.
No, he's going to do it.
After a game, after a couple Coors banquets, no shot.
He's going to do it. Puka Nacua is as real as a rookie. He's a Pro Bowler, and he's on a trajectory that I think everybody should appreciate. And then there's also Kyren Williams. 22 rushes for 104 yards, another 100 game. It's a third straight 100-yard rushing game and a touchdown. There's a crazy, crazy stat somewhere buried in here about Matthew Stafford. Maybe I didn't clip it, but I think it's the first time Matthew Stafford in the history of his career has had a rusher that has gone over 100 yards in three straight games, Nick.
Thank God that we finally were able to give Stafford. I mean, just think about, like, not even the 2021 season where they won it all. It's like, no. Yeah. The run game was not good that year, and they still figured it out. And now we have Kyren. What's this graphic? You have Rams' first 1,000-yard rusher since Todd Gurley in 2018. That's beautiful. I just love bringing up Todd Gurley in the first place because he's such a Rams legend. But like, to compare him to Kyren Williams, there is no comparison in my opinion, because Todd Gurley can just take over a game, but Kyren Williams has been remarkable for what is asked of him and has just been like the fact that McVay can feel comfortable to run the ball on first, second, and third down is more than enough for a running back, because we have seen when he doesn't trust that running back room, he's not going to ask them to do anything difficult.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what's unbelievable about this, because it was Sony Michel in 2021, right? And it's like you've been dying for a running back to be able to come into this brand new scheme and to be able to adjust and be able to go over 1,000 yards. And it seemed like it was impossible, right? Because you went Cam Akers, Ronnie Rivers, Daryl Henderson, Royce Freeman. You had all these names within this new scheme, but nobody that could operate it efficiently or as efficiently as Kyren Williams. And this is a brand new, like the Todd Gurley scheme was outside zone. This is all duo, double teams, went at the line of scrimmage. And Kyren Williams, with his jump cut ability, with his ability to burst after he jump cuts and
breaking
make people miss.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people in this league who would be very, very lucky to have that type of player on their team. And I think that the Rams, it's an extraordinary luxury to be able to have somebody on your roster who can make those, make people miss and be as efficient as he's been this season. So, I mean, who doesn't love Kyren Williams at this point?
It's no surprise that our worst stretch of games was when Kyren was out. And at the time, you know, we didn't really foresee how great he was going to be. But even in those first three games, they used him so much. He was like a fantasy darling. I remember people are like, texting me like, hey, Kyren Williams or Cam Akers? And I'm like, Cam Akers, come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the jury was out last year, right? When Sean McVay and Cam Akers, they had him in his doghouse. But like this is Kyren Williams. With Kyren Williams, the Rams this season, 10 games, a record of 6-4, 27 points per game, and 391 total yards in 10 total games with Kyren Williams in 2023. Without him, 4 games, 1-3. 14 points per game, 14.3, and then yards per game, 272. And I think that record total, that win-loss total, even goes up now because that graphic needs to be updated. But at the same time, like, it's such a valuable asset, and to be able to have a running back of this caliber is just going to pay dividends for the next 2-3 years because he's still in his rookie deal.
Which is why we were all so terrified when he went into the medical tent and then was out for a single play and then was immediately back in. Shout out to Kyren. And then that was great just to see him give, you know, scores a touchdown, gives the ball to his mom. Like, beautiful.
Yeah, nobody better than that kind of person. It seems like this entire, like the rookie class from last year and the rookie class from this year seem like the easiest kids to root for you could ever.
And then just one more offensive note that I want to give a shout out to, our king, DeMarcus Robinson, catching all 6 of his targets and getting in the end zone again. That's the kind of stuff that those, like, everything else obviously is really good. The run game, Puka, Kupp, Stafford, Donald, the DeMarcus Robinson, like, coming off the bench type players, like stepping up and making big plays. That's the kind of stuff that puts you in that upper echelon of, like, teams that can really make a move. It's like, okay, you know, I have to rely on, you know, Ray Allen drilling this 3, like, but hey, you know, that's the difference maker in a championship sometimes.
No, you're right, because
3-corner bang, tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
Sorry. They really liked Van Jefferson. Like, that was a draft pick by them. He was supplemental talent, but they felt like he could be a true field stretching X receiver, and he was in the beginning of that 2021 season. But they also rotated him with DeSean Jackson. So that's what I think is really interesting, is you got a little DeMarcus Robinson, Tutu Atwell is the new formation of Van Jefferson and DeSean Jackson. So
I forgot about DeSean Jackson.
I know he's got a Super Bowl ring, but it's going to be really interesting to see how DeMarcus Robinson continues to develop in this offense, because he's just been great. 4 straight weeks with touchdown. And then Matthew Stafford, he's been just diabolical. Like,
I was ready for this, just looking at the stats and how the Saints are with interceptions. I was like kind of holding my breath for that tonight, because it feels a little overdue. Matthew, we love you here on Rams Brothers, but We know that you throw picks sometimes, and we thought we thought it was coming tonight. I'm sorry. But it didn't, you know, it didn't happen. And he didn't get sacked, which was one of Dean's problems.
He did. He actually did get sacked.
Yeah, he did? He did
in the first half. Yeah, I know. I know. He only got sacked once. So I know. I'm sorry to break the news to you. He did. Just, but it was, it was like a negative 2 yard sack. So it wasn't anything that was like overwhelmingly bad.
But the
fact that he's able to throw off platform, the fact that he's able to throw at every single arm angle, the fact that he's able to throw into coverage when coverage is draped all over his receivers, like he's just a gunslinging gamer, Super Bowl winning Hall of Fame quarterback. Yeah, I said Hall of Fame.
Gunslinging, hash slinging, set blaster.
I said Hall of Fame also, by the way.
Oh, 100%.
Write that down.
You're coming to a Rams podcast and we're not going to say Matthew Stafford's going to make it in the Hall of Fame. Come on.
He does things with the football that three other people in the entire universe can do. Arm angles, throwing off platform, decision-making pre-snap, everything that's in his mental, being able to work with Sean McVay, being able to work timing with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. He is an unbelievable player, and every single week as the weeks progress and the Rams continue to give him the necessary protection, I get more and more impressed with how great of an athlete he is.
He threatened them a little bit with his legs today. I mean, ran a little bit like off to the side thinking that he was going to pick up the first down, and then throws a dart to the slide, to the sideline to hit DeMarcus Robinson for like 30 yards. What is that?
I was just upset that he missed Puka coming out of halftime, because that was a layup, right? Like he got him down the sideline. Puka made an amazing catch. Yeah. And then there was literally a layup over Puka's left shoulder that Stafford just kind of had to lay in the breadbasket, had a little bit of pressure, had to rush the throw. And it just, you know, it caused a mistake, but
he missed the blitz, Puka end zone as well. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just like a fraction of a second. If he held it for another second longer and then the uncorked it, Puka would have just kind of walked into the end zone and would have fell right into his arms.
But yeah, so. I mean, I think, was it three consecutive games with two throwing touchdowns? Like,
yeah, three consecutive games with at least two passing touchdowns, I think. But he's on another streak that I think he has, you know, over two. He's got a streak of at least two passing touchdowns, I think, is the longest streak active in the NFL. So I think it's like 5 or 6 weeks of him throwing multiple touchdown passes in a game.
All right, I got a question for you, and this is 100% off script.
Oh, shoot. Let's do it.
But what does he have to do to pass Kurt Warner as the best Rams quarterback of all time?
It's a really good question. I would say he probably has to take the Rams to another NFC championship.
Yeah.
Because Kurt Warner went to two NFC championships and two Super Bowls, right? And the second one was just the disappointment in 2020 in 2001. So yeah, Matt, I would think that Matthew Stafford at the very least has to get to another NFC championship. And then you can kind of consider him in the same category because they both won Super Bowls. But if he gets you to another Super Bowl, then he's in the exact same category in conversation as Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I couldn't.
He's climbing the ladder. You know, he's getting there.
If Matthew Stafford gets us to another Super Bowl, I mean, what else could you possibly ask for from this team? That's why I feel like, you know, some of these things are champagne problems. Like, we talk about Matthew Stafford missing. We talk about some penalties. We talk about special teams.
This is not a champagne problem. This is a real damn problem.
Yeah.
You got to cut him. I think it's time. You have to cut. Tomorrow, I want to hear news that he's cut.
I'm not there yet. I want to bring Mason Crosby back. I would very much prefer to just bring him back and let him, you know, be able to be on the practice squad, because then you could still have him practice and still have him kick and still have him kind of breathe behind Lucas Heberisic's neck. 11 missed field goals this season, Nick. It's the most by any team since 2015. Are you kidding me? When you combine... So, I apologize to the listening audience for my voice, but when you talk about like punts and punt being blocked and missed field goals and DVOA from special teams ranked 32nd overall with a new special teams coordinator, like, this shit has to get fixed. And if it doesn't, you're going to lose a playoff game. And that's the unfortunate thing about this team. It's like, you go all the way back to 2017, you felt like the Pharaoh Cooper fumble. If that didn't happen, that team could have potentially made a Super Bowl run. This team, it's like, no. we want to be able to shock some teams in the playoffs. Hopefully we can go into somebody else's house and win a game. But there's no NFC Championship Super Bowl expectations with this team right now. So
no, there's not. Like, there's not. There's upset first round potential, and then let's see after that. And yeah. We'll see how the game is. But like
right.
That was never let's be honest with ourselves. Never the goal of this season was NFC.
No,
like,
that's it wasn't.
Not how it was pitched as a retooling year. The right. fact that we're here in the wild card spot is like where we hoped we would be, best case scenario.
Right.
And here
right.
we are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's so going back to the first episode of this season, we said 9-8 would be best case scenario, and they would crack the 6 or 7 playoff spot. We fast forward to today, we're 8-7. We have to beat the Giants to get to 9-7, and then San Francisco may potentially restart, as they were talking about on the broadcast today. Like, San Francisco seems like they're going to be in that spot. So
they may already have the bye, and they may have a chance to knock out a divisional rival.
Right.
Who beat them in the NFC Championship.
Who they don't want to see. Yeah,
I have an inkling that they're not going to rest, to be honest with you.
I would think so, too. Like, there's no way that Shanahan and McVay decide, okay, we're in the last week of the season. I think if you go back to 2017 or 2018, either Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay rested starters, and one of them is on record saying, I will never do that again against Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay. I do not think in my heart of hearts that it's going to happen. I know we talked about it, but it just doesn't feel like something that's like a realistic thing for the Rams to expect.
No. To bring up kicking just one more time, that game shouldn't matter. You should have won the Steelers game if you had a kicker that mm-hmm. was legit, you know? Like, that game, what was it, 3 missed field goals in that game?
Yeah, I know. It's like, for all the unbelievable credit, overwhelming credit that we've been giving Les Snead and Sean McVay, it's like there were a couple of things that you needed to address. One of them was back quarterback, and one of them was kicker. But it's like you only have so much money to go around, right?
I'm fine with Carson Wentz. I'm fine with having Wentz on the roster.
Sure. And sure.
Just never worrying about Stenson Bennett, to be honest.
I know. That's just, it's kind of the criticism that I've been hearing from social media. It's
because they didn't have to get Bennett that high. He would have been around for like quite some time. And I say it all the time, but that image of them high fiving and it's burned into my retinas.
After
drafting him, he was the next franchise QB.
They have a really good track record of just signing quarterbacks off the scrap heap. Like, Blake Bortles can be smoking a cigarette on a construction site and they can sign him for $1 million and he's a valuable backup on this roster. Like, that's kind of been the methodology. So Carson Wentz was hunting and they said, here, you want $1,000,015
to come live in Los Angeles?
Come live in LA and wear a Rams uniform.
He's like, I don't know. There's a lot of sinners out in LA.
Rams fans, if you guys are enjoying the podcast, I meant to do this before the episode started. I said it to Nick. I said it to him before the episode started. I said, make sure that I say like and subscribe before
it's on the top of the script. All caps, bold it, and it's the first thing he said to me before he hit record. Is he was like, "All right, I'm gonna tell him to like and subscribe right away. Don't worry." And then Dean, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Rams Brothers the Pod. And immediately blanks. His brain just goes blank after that.
It does. It totally does. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me, but it is such an interesting world we live in. This podcast world where my mind just goes totally blank. If you guys are enjoying the podcast, we would very much appreciate if you liked and subscribed. We had a little victory shot. Obviously, we had a couple of beers during the game. That's what should do when you expect your team to kick some ass. And
like Rams and subscribe, absolutely. Always do that. Smash whatever. But also, another great way to support us is our new YouTube shop. So if you go to our YouTube page and you look at our shop, There's t-shirts, there's mugs, and there's hats that look similar to this hat I'm rocking right now. It has the Rams Brothers logo on it, which is a really sick hat. Check out the YouTube shop. If you want to help me and Dean out directly, that's the best way you can do it. So appreciate you guys so much for all the love and support. Rams house, baby. We're feeling good. Thank you for showing up to that game, Rams fans, too, because that was a great turnout.
Yes, we appreciate you, Rams fans. Liking and subscribing and commenting on these episodes does way more than you guys could ever think. So make sure that you guys
read everyone.
Yes, we do, unfortunately. Go Rams. Two of three games we promised on the win streak. Let's go get the third one on New Year's Eve. And in the meantime, we'll be here. Love you guys.
Right here.
Go Rams.
Go Rams.
Peace.